I'm sorry, you're playing the introduction.
Okay.
The melody, Jesus whispers sweet hello. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all life ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the then broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing. Resting beneath the sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Anybody with a testimony before we go to the next song? Beth? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the safety, not for the accident. Wow. Total the car?
Yeah.
She's a burden.
She's a burden. Mark said that, not me. Page 195, Trust and Obey.
Not a burden we bear.
Said, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Another song that talks about that love is 294. Let's turn there. And Can It Be? Let's sing the first, third, and last verse, 1, 3, and 5.
A wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my my soul, for which long I had sought, since Jesus came into my heart.
Since
Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows. Came into my heart,
possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure.
Since Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt
now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart,
Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll.
Nice to have missionaries come back and tell us what's been going on in their lives and their ministry. So I was appreciative that Len called me a few weeks ago and asked if he could come and share. And it's also nice to hear ministries that are a little bit different than what you usually hear about. You hear a lot about foreign missions, and it's an opportunity to hear about a home mission missionary going to our universities. And I'm sure it's a real challenge being in that kind of environment, a secular environment. And yet I hear that God is moving on college campuses, even university campuses and secular campuses. And so, Len, it's a joy to have you with us tonight. And God bless you, and share your heart and what's been happening with your ministry there in Milwaukee.
Well, good evening. It's good to be here with you tonight. And appreciate the opportunity that your pastor's given me to come back and give an update on the work we've been doing and the work that really God's been doing. And so if you'll permit me to ask you to bear with me tonight, I'm fighting a nasty head cold, and so I may be popping some Halls in my mouth and drinking from this occasionally, but I think we'll get through the night. I think I could hardly talk last night when I called your pastor, but anyway, I made it through the morning service, and hopefully we'll do the same here. I want to thank your church for faithfully supporting us down in Milwaukee. I think it's been probably close to, it's been 4 to 5 years since we've been here, since I probably I think I remember well that I did come by myself. So you still haven't met my family. In fact, it was kind of a joke for a while that some people in our district, I would go around and they wonder if I really just had some family pose with me on my missionary prayer card just to say that I had a family. But I do have a family. And just with all the different activities and with life, with kids and everything, they're often not able to come with me. Plus, I'm sneaking in a couple days of bow hunting while I'm up this way, and my wife's not into that whatsoever. So I'm by myself. But I do have a wife and three kids, and their names are, my wife's name is Anita, and our oldest boy is Daniel, who's 12. Rachel, who's 10, and Andrew, who is 6. So our life is hopping all the time, and I can't imagine what it's going to be like when they get to be teenagers with all the running we're doing now. But I'm looking forward to that day, actually, when it does come. So not exactly sure where to start. I feel like I have so much, you know, that I could say, but I want to share some testimonies with you tonight, just of some students that we've been able to minister to, what God's been doing on the campus, some of the different ways that we're involved in outreach, and just what God's been doing, as well as bring a challenge from the Word. So we'll be here all night. No, I'm just kidding. I'll try to keep my eye on the clock up there, and your pastor said I could go till about 9 o'clock. So I think that's okay. Why are you laughing? No. Anyway, when we came here initially to Milwaukee, I guess, I actually feel this is closer to home to me since I'm from Minneapolis. And proud to say that. Have we got any Vikings fans here? No. Oh, man. I thought I could get away with saying something. I thought I was close enough. But, oh, boy, there goes the mission support. Anyway, this is closer to home, but 6 or so years ago, we felt God specifically call us to go and start Chi Alpha and the university campuses of Milwaukee. Actually, we didn't know it was Milwaukee at the time, but we felt God call us to do Chi Alpha ministry full time. And we traveled around. We knew we wanted to go to an urban area, and we wanted to plant ministry where there was not one. And through a long series of choices, Milwaukee was on the bottom of our list, but that was where God called us to. And so we're in our fourth year of ministry now, and just feel that things are really starting to take hold, and things are really getting exciting. We've had a lot of good things that have happened in the last 3 years, but now our group is gaining momentum. We're getting our leaders, our student leaders, where we really want them to be, and they're really taking more of ownership of the ministry, and so it's really exciting now, and the ministry is just kind of taking off. We've seen a lot of students come to Christ, and a lot of those students that we thought were going to be leadership students for us, some of them have transferred to North Central Bible College, some of them have went to Pensacola, to different places. And so that's been good in a way for what God's been doing in their life, but it's kind of left us high and dry with leaders and stuff. But now I think we actually have some students that are going to stick around for a while. Well, when I was here a few years ago, our burden was basically for the UW-Milwaukee campus, which is a campus of 24,000 students. And it's about a 90% commuter campus, so it's not even like Stout, I'm sure, which has a lot of probably dormitories and things like that. I don't know all that much about the campus. But 90% commuter campus. It's a very, very urban campus. So when you walk around, if you like to people watch at all, UW-Milwaukee is a really good place to do that. You see just about everything. I mean, you see all the body piercing, all the tattoos. You see the shaved heads, you know, guys and girls. You see the color, you know, it's just a really interesting place. And the average age of student there, it's not your traditional university campus. The average age of a student there is 27. So we are ministering to students that some have been married and divorced and have perhaps a child or two And so we're dealing with a lot of different issues that we never even thought that we would be dealing with college ministry. But that's okay. And God's helping us to learn and to grow ourselves and to stretch. So we went to that campus, and at the time that we went to UW-Milwaukee, there was one evangelical campus ministry that had about 20 students in it. No full-time workers on the campus or anything. That's 20 students out of 24,000 is not even a drop in the bucket. And so we were just overwhelmed by the huge need there. And we're glad to say that there's been a couple other campus ministries, real good ministries that have started since we've been there. There are also cults that are active there, very dangerous cults. And so it's really interesting in all of these different groups. There's Muslim groups, there's Jewish groups, you name it. And they're all competing for the attention of these students. And yet God's voice continues to call out and cry out to them. And we're just trying to follow his leading and follow his will in how we minister and how we communicate him on campus. Well, since starting there, God opened the door for us to begin ministry at Marquette University, another 12,000 students there. And it's been amazing. They literally rolled out the red carpet for us. Usually, a campus like that would not want anything to do with a evangelical group or especially a Pentecostal group. But I have an office there. They've given me a staff card. I have a parking space. It's been unbelievable how they've opened the door to us. And so God's given us a lot of favor with the campus there. And we've seen God do some good things, and we're still praying and looking for some breakthroughs. That's about as opposite from the spectrum from what I just described UW-Milwaukee being, about as far away as you can be. It's your traditional four-year campus. Most of the students live on campus. It's a Catholic university. It's a very white, rich, upper-class, suburban makeup of student. And so it's very different where UW-Milwaukee is very ethnically diverse. It very much represents more of the city. And so there's two very different campuses. And when we try certain things on one campus, like one of the things that we do every week at UW-Milwaukee is we have an information table where we have a table in the student union where we have Bibles and tracts. We give away candy. We put up different messages on the board and just try to start conversation with students. All day long, we'll have students coming up and interacting with us, and we'll give away Bibles and do all kinds of things. When we do that at Marquette University, people, you know, even though we're giving away candy and other things, students won't even stop and give us the time of day. We're lucky if we sit out there for 2 or 3 hours, we're lucky to have one or two students that will stop by to even find out what we're all about. So it's challenging to try and find a key to that university, and we haven't really found that yet as far as how we can really start to make an impact there. We are one-on-one with students. We're seeing God do some great things. And then as well, we've been working at Cardinal Stritch University, which is a small Catholic university as well in Milwaukee. It has a campus of about 6,000 students. Most of them are night and evening class students, so it's kind of a continuing education for professionals that are out in business and other thing that are going to go and get their MBAs or whatever. And so there's a lot of evening and night classes. There's about 1,200 students that live right on campus that are more your traditional students. And my wife has been conducting a ladies' Bible study there for the past, this is her third year. And we've had a great group of girls that are involved in that. And they have wanted for the last 2 years for us to be on campus and be an officially recognized organization. But the administration has not been interested in having us on at all. And so we've been kind of doing this underground work. And my wife's just been meeting with these girls in the library doing this Bible study. And so finally, just actually a couple of weeks ago, the campus has agreed, after 2 years of us being there underground, allowed us to to come on and be an official organization. So that's really been a big breakthrough for us. And it's just been one particular person in the administration that's been holding us back. And so now we're able to advertise and get access to students and rooms and other things. And so it's really exciting. And we have gone to almost more of a citywide type focus for what we're trying to do, because we have students from three other campuses that are represented as well. It'd be Milwaukee Area Technical College, what's the other ones? Mount Mary College, an all-girls college, and Milwaukee School of Engineering, sorry. We're not actively involved on those campuses, but we have students that come to our Thursday night worship service. So it's been really exciting. And the students really seem to enjoy getting together with all the students from different campuses and fellowshipping, doing different things. And so God has expanded what we've been doing far beyond what we ever thought or what we ever dreamed campus ministry would be in Milwaukee. As well, I like to say, and I probably said this 4 or 5 years ago, but you probably wouldn't remember, but I like to say that I believe that college ministry is perhaps the most strategic missions work that there is in the world today. And there's really two reasons why I believe that. First of all, the future of our country is literally at stake with this generation of young people who will go on to be our next leaders in this country. And the future of the church is at stake as well. I don't know if you know this or not, but well over 80% of 15 to 24-year-olds were not in church anywhere across this country today. Over 80%. That's shocking. So we're literally at risk of losing most of a generation of young people across this nation. As well, an alarming statistic that I heard on Focus on the Family a few years ago is that out of evangelical churches as a whole across America, 87% of those students coming out of church that will go to a secular university campus will abandon their relationship with Christ, abandon their faith in Christ when they go to a secular university campus. And most of those students will never return to the church. Again, that's disturbing that we have that high of a number of turnover of our Christian students when they go and they're bombarded with the theology of this world and of this age, which says, you know, you have to be all-inclusive and there really is no God. You make God out to be whoever you want him to be, whatever fits your lifestyle. All of those different things. And it erodes the foundation that, you know, we work so hard in the church to establish and in our families to establish. And so that's why I believe it's so important, because our future board members and our future church leaders are on our university campuses today. And through Chi Alpha, we want to help them in their relationship with God to grow and thrive in that relationship during their university experience, so that when they go out into the workforce, they'll naturally be able to go out and tie into a church and be involved. The other reason why I believe that campus ministry is perhaps the most strategic missions work is that God in his wisdom has literally brought the world to our doorstep in America today through our university campuses. We have the best and the brightest and the most privileged international students studying on our campuses today. And we have the opportunity to reach them when they're away from the pressures of home and the structures of their society, and there's an openness to learn about America and about the United States. And it provides just a wonderful door of opportunity for us to reach these students who will go back and be the leaders in their country. I don't know if you knew this or not. I'm guessing probably not. But there are a couple, at least, of very famous alumni from UW-Milwaukee that were international students. One of them is Golda Meir, who is the former Prime Minister of Israel. She was an international student at one time in Milwaukee, at UW-Milwaukee. And the current president of Peru, he's not a very popular fellow, but his name is Alberto Fujimori. I don't even know how those two names go together, but he is also an alumni of UW-Milwaukee, the current president of Peru. So you never know. You never know what these students will go on to become. when they return to their country. And just through befriending them and serving them, we have the opportunity to reach them with the gospel. And we've seen about 5 students come to accept Christ in the last couple of years. And it's been really exciting. We've had a couple of students from Germany, a girl from Japan, a girl from China, and another one from Ethiopia. So it's been exciting to see God work in the lives of these students. And some of those students are back in their countries now. And we've been able to, through the missionaries that the Assemblies of God have, hook them into churches, into fellowships. In Japan in particular, it's really uncommon for a Japanese student to come to accept Christ here in the United States. And so we just feel privileged. And the way that we're ministering to international students is through a couple of different means. When I first came to UW-Milwaukee 4 years ago, they had a university-run program called Friends of Internationals. And what that did was recruit families in the Milwaukee area to host an international student. Not host by meaning that they come and live with them, but through this program, once a month, the students would get together with the family, and that family would usually invite that student into their home for a meal. And most international students are very eager to get into an American home, and most of them never have that opportunity. And so there was about 25 families involved in this program when we came there 4 years ago, and there was over 100 students that were on a waiting list waiting for families to be matched up with. And I was just finishing my fundraising. I was doing a lot of speaking in the Milwaukee area, and so I said, hey, I think I can help you out with this. And so I began to recruit families, and we've pretty much taken over that program now. In fact, last year, out of the 32 new families that were involved in this program at the university, we had provided 30 of them through our assembly churches in Milwaukee. And in fact, that's how some of those students have accepted Christ. It's not even been that much through the ministry that I've done one-on-one with these students, but it's been connecting them with our church families in Milwaukee. In fact, this one girl, the Japanese girl I was mentioning to you, I met her. Her name was Amane, and I met her, really forgot all about her. And about a year after I'd met her, she emailed me and said, Len, I have to go to Appleton for a month to do some student teaching, and I don't know anyone there. Is there any way you can help me? And I need a place to stay. And so I was able to call one of our churches in Appleton and say, hey, this girl has a need, and this family took her in. And she began to attend church services with this family. And on the second Sunday that she was there, she went forward and accepted Christ in an altar call. And so it's incredible. And another way that we have been ministering to international students is through what we've called care baskets. The international student director told me how these students have absolutely nothing when they come to the country. And in fact, there's such a housing shortage in the Milwaukee area near campus that even sometimes 2 or 3 months into the semester, I still meet students that are living in hotels paying $40 or $50 a night because they can't find an apartment. And UW-Milwaukee has very limited housing and a couple thousand students on a waiting list to get into that housing. So that's a very big need. And so we put together what we called care baskets. And what they consist of is a laundry basket with sheets and with a quilt. We throw some toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, soap, whatever we can get our hands on, and throw all this stuff in a basket, and we offer it free to any international student that desires one. And this year, I think we gave out 42 so far. And these are the students. Most of them are from India, but all over the world, from Jordan, from Germany, from Yugoslavia, from Russia. And it's been awesome. And then through that first step, we also include in that a Bible. We give them a Jesus video. We invite them to some of the different Chi Alpha activities and services that we have. And it's just been a wonderful way to start a relationship with those students. And then we host different dinners and different activities, and we build relationships with these students. And we begin to show them what real Christianity is all about. Because many of those students believe that America is a Christian nation. They have that concept in their mind, and really we're not a Christian nation anymore. We are far from that, and so actually a few years ago, before Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and whatever all the other shows are that are kind of like that, the most popular show in the world worldwide was Baywatch. And so, you know, these students see Baywatch and they equate America being a Christian nation. And it's no wonder that a lot of them, you know, aren't that interested in Christianity or really understand what Christianity is all about. And so like I said, through building a relationship with them, we try to show them that God cares for them, that God loves them, and that you know, there are some Christians who really love God and really do sincerely follow Him in America today. So it's been exciting to be involved in that. And one of the great things that happened was just about 2 years ago, I had been building a relationship with the international student director who is not a Christian. And through just providing some of these different services, like these care baskets, and through providing families to the host family program, we really won a lot of favor with him because he saw that we were meeting real needs for these international students. And so God was giving us favor. He was asking us to be involved in programs. In fact, a couple years ago, we hosted a really popular trip to the Mall of America. And we chartered a bus. And we had a charter bus full of students that we brought up to the Mall of America. We stayed overnight at the church in Hudson. Kent Boyum was a good friend of mine. And we slept on the floor. And it was the first time that most of those students had ever been in a church. And they're looking around, and Kent made sure that he left all kinds of gospel tracts laying around and different things, and it was really exciting. And so he started to ask us to do different programming. Well, about a year ago, he sent me an email and said, I've taken another position, and I'm not going to be with you here at the university anymore. And so I kind of thought, well, there goes our open door that I've been working so hard to create on campus. Little did I know that the new person that came in, she contacted me over the summer, a week or so before school started, and said, I've heard a lot about what you're doing from the former director. Could we get together and have lunch and talk about some things? And so I went and met with her, and very soon found out that she was a Christian. And she was actually really mixed up. She had been at UW Eau Claire as a student, had accepted Christ through one of the campus ministries there, went on to be the international student director at UW Superior, and then unfortunately she had attended the Assemblies of God Church. That was fortunate. I didn't mean to say that, but unfortunately she got involved in a group that something happened, and she got involved in a group that was really damaging to her faith. When she came to Milwaukee, She was so heaped up with condemnation that she didn't even believe she was a Christian anymore, that God loved her. And so I basically spent the first 2 or 3 months of the school year counseling her. And she's tied into to our Assembly of God Church that's right by campus, and just doing marvelously in the Lord, and just helping us out, and understands what we're trying to do to reach these international students. In fact, I used to bring all these care baskets just into the international student office and leave them there, and the students would pick them up whenever they had a chance to come and get them. And she said, oh, that won't do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the names, the phone numbers of all of these students, and then you can call them and you can meet with them personally. And so she's giving us access to all of these students, and it's just been an incredible blessing. And so God's working. God continues to work amongst international students. As far as the American students go, it's been exciting as well. We've seen God really do some wonderful things in the lives of students. We do some pretty outrageous things sometimes on campus as far as outreach goes. You probably couldn't get away with doing that in a church because you might earn a bad reputation in your town or something like that. But really, on the university campus, you can get away with a lot. So it's kind of fun because there's just so many weird things that happen there anyway, and people are doing weird things. So we bring in a guy every year. His name's Gunnar Diekman, and he has a PhD in chemistry from Madison. Absolutely the most brilliant person I've ever known personally in my life. And he gave up his teaching degree, his teaching position at UW-Madison a few years ago because he felt God called him to go from campus to campus around the nation and talk about primarily present Christ to students, but as well using science as a way in his degree is gaining some credibility to get on campus. And so he actually came, I heard really good things about him a couple of years ago. And he said that he'd like to come and that he'd like to spend some time with our students telling them, helping them learn how to share their faith effectively on campus. And so he came and stayed overnight at our house. He does that often when he comes down to Milwaukee. He stays with us, and he usually comes in late. And I feel like sometimes I'm intellectually challenged. This guy, like I said, is so brilliant, and he usually comes in 10, 11 o'clock at night, and we're tired. You know, we just gotten the kids to bed and everything else, and he'll want to talk, and he'll talk, and he'll talk, and he'll talk. And my wife and I just, you know, when we finally get to bed, we say, my brain hurts just from listening to that guy. I mean, it literally is a challenge, at least for me, to keep up with what he's saying. But he came and stayed the night with us the first time, and we drove down in his pickup truck to UW-Milwaukee. And we were going to do, we had a lecture scheduled that evening on creation, and was God involved in creation and how God was involved. And so we are driving down there, and he said, Len, I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to hang on a cross today. I didn't know it. In the back of his pickup truck, he had this big 10-foot cross and a platform. And we went to the busiest spot of campus where all the thousands of students go through, especially during lunch hour from like 11 to 2, the busiest time. We went to the busiest time. I was scared to death. But I really felt, you know, I felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need to do this in spite of my fear. Because here I am trying to build a relationship with these administrators and everything. And so he went out and hung on a cross. And for 4.5 hours, he hung on that cross and talked with students. And he has this incredible voice that just carries across the whole open free speech area there on campus. And sometimes there were crowds of 200 and 300 students that were gathered around interacting with him during the day between their classes, going to lunch, and other things. And there was a really vocal group that were sitting around at his feet. There were about 25 or 30 students who were mostly the students that were involved in the gay and lesbian movement on campus. And they were saying all kinds of rude and crude things and sometimes talking, and there was just all this interaction that was going on. And some people were mocking, ridiculing. Others were asking honest questions. But there were hundreds of students that heard the gospel that day. And he finally came down from the cross, like I said, after 4.5 hours, and he was just standing on the edge of a 2x4 and had his arms looped through a couple of pieces of rope. So he was in pain. And this guy's about 90 pounds soaking wet, if even that. And he came down, and there was a group of about 10 or 15 students that hung around and wanted to talk a little bit deeper. And I remember coming across a student named Mike. His name was Mike Manning. I don't know where he was from, but he was somewhere in rural Wisconsin. And he was a sophomore at UWM, typical American kid. And he had never heard a gospel presentation once in his life before that day, if you can believe that. I mean, I can't even fathom that. He had never heard a gospel presentation once in his life. And one of our students was able to lead him to Christ. He said, this is such wonderful news. How could anybody not accept Christ? And so God did a work in this guy's life. It just blew my mind that here in America, someone could have that happen. But that's the way our society is today. This young generation of young people is one of the most unchurched probably in the history of America, for sure. And several of those students we ran into the next day. I was trying to process all this because it was so far beyond anything that I ever thought I was getting myself into, for one thing, that day, but far beyond something that's fit for my personality or anything else. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, boy, did we, because we really offended a lot of Christian people too, that were very offended that he was up there on the cross. And they came by and they let us know. And so I'm trying to process, boy, did we really, we're trying to start this ministry, did we shoot ourselves in the foot today or what? And as I processed it and prayed about it, I thought, you know, we were able to evangelize a whole segment of campus, namely the gay and lesbians and the real artsy people, that would never be open to a traditional gospel presentation. They would never take a tract from someone on campus. They would never, or very rarely, have the chance, the opportunity to have any kind of meaningful interaction about the gospel. And so I came to the conclusion that yeah, it was worthwhile. That was a good thing that we did. We lifted Jesus up and talked about who he was and that he loved people and so it was a good thing. And in fact, we were back on campus the next day, and some of the students that were involved in this, in the gay and lesbian group, one guy in particular that we spent a lot of time talking to, who had a strong church background, he came back that next day and he saw us and he said, you know, I've been thinking a lot, and it's really true that I know I'm not living a life that's pleasing God, and I want to change. And we were able to pray with him, and so it was great that the Holy Spirit worked in the midst of all of that chaos. It was just weird enough a thing on campus that it attracted a lot of people. And we got wrote up in the paper, and they wrote a very good article. I thought we were going to get, you know, ripped apart, but it was really good. And so that's one of the things. We have him in every year, and we do lectures. And then he's able to change into a suit that night after hanging on the cross, and speak at a level far over my head, talking about creation and being able to answer all of these professors' questions that were in the room and everything else. And it was really, this guy's really an amazing guy. And God uses him in an incredible way. So, I want to tell you about, I guess, just how, and especially with, I guess, the young people here tonight. Good to see you guys all in the front two rows, three rows. And I want to tell you of a couple of experiences from students that we've had involved with Chi Alpha this year, and. Hopefully it'll encourage you and show you how important it is that we have fellowship with one another, and that we're involved in fellowship, we're involved in church, and we're involved with other Christians, because that's what keeps us strong, and that's what keeps us accountable to one another and to the Lord as well. But the first girl that's involved in our ministry is a girl named Susan, and she's from probably the largest Assembly of God church in the Midwest. And it's in the Chicago area. And she was the president of her youth group. She was the president of her Bible club on campus. And just kind of your model Christian kid, if there is such a thing. And she came to UW-Milwaukee on a music scholarship. And lived in the dormitories. I met her, I think, right at the end of the spring of her freshman year. And just got to know her a couple of times. She came to one of our services. And then I didn't see her again for a long time until this fall. She actually called me up during the summer and said she was going to be coming back to school. And she began to tell me, actually, when she came back, she kind of told me her story, what had happened. But she came to UW-Milwaukee and didn't get involved in a church, didn't get involved in any kind of fellowship with other Christians. And pretty soon the world just began to chip away at a lot of the different things in her life that she held so dear. And her roommates would party, and she didn't go with them for a long time. And then she decided, well, you know, I wanna be witness to them, and so I'll just go and I'll hang out and I won't drink. Well, pretty soon she thought, well, I can have a beer or two, and I can still be okay. She was trying to do all this stuff in her own strength, and she wasn't tied in anywhere where she was getting fed and getting fellowship and being accountable. And she began to tell me that in 6 months' time, she became first anorexic, and then bulimic, and she is trying to do all the things that she despised so much, and that was, you know, trying to look beautiful to all the guys, trying to be the life of the party, trying to be, you know, this girl that was the life of the party and everything else. And at a point, she's 5'8", and at one point she got down to 96 pounds, and that was when she bottomed out. And her roommates, she actually went into a 3-day drinking binge where she bought a couple of quarts of Jack Daniels or something and just drank until she passed out. She'd wake up again and she'd drink until she passed out, and she'd drink until she passed out for 3 days. And finally her roommates, who, you know, were laughing at her for being goody two shoes and all this other stuff, and they were partiers, and they finally called her parents, and she came from a wonderful Christian family, and they came and got her that night, and they withdrew her from school and brought her home, and for the next probably about 9 months, she went through a whole healing process, and God has delivered her from those eating disorders, and is healing her physically and emotionally and spiritually as well. And I literally cannot hold her back. She is so on fire for God now that she has come back, and she sees the value of fellowship with other believers and how important it is to be involved in our group and sharing. She's leading a freshman girls Bible study for us, and I think she's the perfect person to do that, coming from a bad experience of what it was like to come and not get plugged in and get involved in a group and keep your faith alive on campus. And she's just on fire for God, and it's so wonderful to see how God has healed her and is going to use that testimony that she has to touch a lot of students' lives. There's another girl that just for the last few weeks has been involved in our ministry, and her name is Mel. And she as well was raised in a church, and however, she had a lot of family conflict at home. Her parents ended up getting divorced, and she just never felt in her later teen years like she belonged at church. And she told me all this just like a week ago. She told me that she would come to church and she would feel worse leaving than when she came, that she came really needing to find love and acceptance and fellowship, and you know, maybe this is her perception, and maybe it's a little bit of a skew of what really happened, I don't know. But she just felt that she got beat up by people at church. And so she graduated from school and wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with church, nothing to do with Christianity. And her life just went downhill, probably in a very similar pattern like Susan's, although she got into a lot of drug use, where she was using crack cocaine and cocaine. And this last August, she bottomed out and she tried to commit suicide. And she was in a hospital in Milwaukee for a week, and her life was a mess. Well, the first week of class, she looked in the directory at UW-Milwaukee and looked under Christian groups, and I think we're the first one listed in there. And so she called us and began to get involved with this Susan and with a couple of our other students. And God's just doing a wonderful work of healing in her life. She said she realized she really needs God, but she wasn't ready to go back to church. And actually, just this last week was the first Sunday that she went back to church in like over 2 years, and she loved it. And she's starting to get tied in and connected in with students, and is growing and in her faith again. And her faith has become alive again. And so we're ministering to a lot of hurting people. And we're working with students, a lot of Catholic students, and that's really exciting. work with a girl who's a Filipino girl. Her name's Melanie. And I met her last spring. And she's very, 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 very Catholic. She's very devout. And she her family from the Philippines, in fact, they went on a pilgrimage this summer. She was here in Milwaukee. But her family went on a pilgrimage from the Philippines with one of the head bishops from the Philippines to Rome and to the Vatican and then to the Holy Land, to Israel. And she brought back these little things with holy water for our kids and other stuff. It was kind of interesting to see, but she did it out of good intention, and so we kept those things, and we've got them somewhere. But she came back, and when I first met her, she had met several Christians who told her that she could not be a Catholic and she couldn't be a Christian at the same time. And I told her, and I don't want to go into all the theological things tonight, but I told her I don't believe that's true, because I've met, you know, a few different Catholics that I know for certain are born again, that love God, and so I told her, no, I don't believe that that's true. And she was so turned off to evangelical Christians because they had told her, you know, you can't be a Catholic, you can't. And instead, we were able to reach out to her, and she got involved in a Bible study that we had this summer. It was actually a book study on a book called Letters from a Skeptic, a really great book. And it was neat because she joined her family on this trip to the Holy Land, and we were right in the middle of studying this book. She had just read through it all, and she just, I mean, it's a very evangelical book, and in the end, this father, it's a dialogue between a father and a son, and this father ends up accepting Christ. And she was so excited about this book, and she went on this trip, and she actually was talking with the bishop, and they were talking about different things with the Pope and stuff, and she said, no, that's not right, you know. And she gave the guy this book, and as well a couple of her other family members who are Catholic, she gave this book to as well. And so she's really just growing and embracing her relationship with Christ, and it's been awesome to see God work in her life. And she's really hungry and seeking God, and it's awesome. And so she actually just got invited to go on faculty at the Marquette University Dental School. And she's like 26, really, really sharp young lady. And so it's been awesome to see how God has brought people just our way that are open, that are looking for God. There are so many students that are searching, and they oftentimes don't know what they're looking for, and they're trying to fill that God-shaped void in their life with all kinds of different things that don't fill it, and we're able to point them to Christ. And we've got another student. Like I said, I could go on and on all night with testimonies of students, but another guy that's been involved in our group is a guy named George, and his parents are both doctors. They're from South Dakota. He's a wrestler. He was ranked like 10th in the nation, I think, or something like that. Kind of your all American kid, and he came to Marquette University studying engineering. Got involved. He was dating a girl, and while they were at they'd been dating for like 3 years in high school, and when he came to Milwaukee, shortly after he was there, she broke up with him, and that kind of sent him spiraling into depression. And on top of that, he began to drink and got involved with the binge drinking and everything else and the party scene, and his life was just going out of control in a hurry. And we were able to meet him. And tell him about Christ and about a God who loved him and a plan for his life, who cared about his hurts, who cared about, who could satisfy more than any relationship in this life could. And he accepted Christ and just got radically saved, and is on fire for God. And he's a cheerleader for the Marquette men's basketball team, and he's vice president of his fraternity. And is really an awesome testimony, and he's known as the only guy in the fraternity that won't touch a drink, and God's using his testimony and he's able to really build relationships with these guys, and they come to him because they respect him, because he's not doing all the things that everyone else in the fraternity is doing. So it's been really exciting to see how God has been changing lives. I want to share scripture with you. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God has given us this awesome task of being his representatives here on earth. It seems like God surely could have chose a better way to communicate his love to the world than through us humans, who so oftentimes are frail and prone to not follow through with the opportunities that he gives us. I know in my life I can look at instances where I've blown it, where I've recognized that God has wanted me to share my faith with someone, share a testimony, and I've been intimidated or fearful or something, and I haven't done it. And I realize, and it's not a fun feeling to be at that point where you recognize you blew an opportunity that God really wanted you to speak. And it's not a fun place to be. But God chooses to use us. And like I said earlier, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm the last person that should be doing campus ministry. Here was a kid who grew up in the home of an alcoholic and I went to foster homes and did different things. And my greatest ambition in life when I was 17 was I was going to become a bartender. That was where I'd spent most of my life. Forget college, forget anything else. I knew I definitely didn't want to go to college. And someone presented the gospel to me right before I graduated. And God changed the plans that I had for my life. They weren't much of a plan, other than I knew I didn't want to go to school, and God said go to school, and so that's what I did. And like I said, I feel like sometimes I'm intellectually challenged. God, certainly, you know, you could have found someone that could put a sentence together better than I can. And yet God called me and chose me. And I guess that makes me lean on his grace quite a bit. You know, sometimes I still struggle with doing things in my own strength, but it helps me to lean on him and realize that, God, if you're going to do this work of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation, it certainly isn't going to be through any wonderful words that I can put together to persuade someone. But, you know, I make myself available to you, God. And I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say that, you know, I'm sure you probably have, that God doesn't ask us about our ability or our inability, but he asks us about our availability. Okay, we may not always feel like we have all the right gifts, that we're the most popular, the best looking, all these other things that, you know, are important to the world. We may not feel like we have all those things, but if we're available to God, and if we lay our lives before him every day and say, God, you know, use me for your honor and your glory, he will use us. He will use us, and that's the wonderful thing. The wonderful thing is that God would choose not only to love us and to reconcile us to himself, but to entrust us with the ministry of reconciliation. That God is pleading through us to the world around us, be reconciled to God. And we have the opportunity, for those of us who know Christ, you know, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches and about remaining in him and abiding in him, and that as we do that, we'll bear much fruit. So God expects us to bear fruit in our lives for the kingdom of God and for his purpose. And are we making ourselves available to him? I trust and I hope and I pray that we are, because the enemy would like to confuse God's efforts and say, you know, either put fear before us, or doubt, or uncertainty, or feelings of inadequacy about ourselves. But God is able to work above and beyond all those flaws that we have or that we perceive that we have, as long as we make ourselves available to him. So what I want to share with you tonight is just the fact this, try to sum it up in a couple of statements here, is that if we make ourselves available to him and we remain in him and we live and walk by the Spirit, then as Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be evidence in our lives to the world around us. And people will see that, hey, there's something different about our lives. And we'll be able to share with them what Christ has done in our lives. And that's how we're involved in the ministry of reconciliation. It's by letting our light shine before men so that, not that they can see our works, but they can see the works that God does through us and that he can be glorified in heaven. So I hope and I pray and I trust that you'll make yourself available as a vessel for his use. And he'll do great and awesome things, from the youngest person here to the oldest person here. God will use you to change your world. It's been awesome for me to see my kids, how God even uses them at time to time in our neighborhood. And I can remember a couple of times bringing our kids to some of the international student functions that we have. Maybe it was a Thanksgiving dinner that was put on by the university. And I remember one time in specific going there and telling them, you know, trying to tell them on the way there, you know, kids, this won't be like church. Not everyone there is not going to be a Christian. And so I think I even said something to the point of, you know, just be careful, you know, be careful not to offend people and those kind of things. And I stopped and thought about what I said. And I thought, you know, that's really not right. That's really not right at all. And I had to apologize to them and tell them, you know, kids, whatever God puts on your heart, because my daughter never meets a stranger. You know, she, anywhere we are, we were riding the Staten Island Ferry in New York City this summer, and she met this woman, and she just struck up this conversation and knew this woman's whole life story by the time we got into New York City. I mean, that's just the way she is. And I had to repent before God that I told my kids that, you know, that to be careful what you say. You know, we don't want to offend anyone. And they oftentimes are more pure in their motivation and their evangelism than I am. And it's been neat to see all three of our kids have led some of their friends in their neighborhood to Christ. No way. The Holy Spirit checked me. Do I ever want to hinder what God wants to do in and through them? And they're making themselves available to God. And will you do that tonight? Will you pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you that you have established it here in this community as a lighthouse, as a place of hope, as a place where people can look to find you. God, I thank you for the pastor that you've sent here, God, and the workers and all of the people that are involved and call this church home. And I pray, God, that you will continue the work that you want to do through this church for your kingdom. And I pray, God, that from the youngest here to the oldest here tonight, God, that you, Lord, would make each one of them aware, God, of their purpose, of, God, what you desire to do in and through them. And, Father, I pray for those, Lord, who perhaps don't even take that responsibility very seriously or never really thought about it much before tonight about, God, how you wanted to use them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just quicken their hearts and empower them, Lord, to be able to be your witnesses. And I just pray even for the young people here tonight, God, that you would empower them with your Holy Spirit, the different schools that they're at, or if they're homeschooled, wherever they may be, Christian school, that you would use them, Lord, in their world to make a difference and to change and to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Because, God, I know that there are many people in this community and in the schools, in our neighborhoods, God, that you want to reconcile to yourself. And so, Lord, we just make ourselves available to you. And I make myself available to you to afresh tonight, God, and say, God, that if there's things in my life, God, that are distractions from allowing me to be what you want me to be and share with the people that you want me to share, God, with, I'll lay those things aside, God. But I pray that in our weaknesses, Lord, you may be made strong. And God, and I thank you that you've chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so, God, you can use each one of us. So continue your work. And Lord, we just want to be in step with your Spirit. And we want to walk in your Spirit as you instructed us to do, Lord, so that we can be aware of what your Spirit's doing around us. So Lord, use this church and continue to build your kingdom here, and I pray in Milwaukee as well, God. And I just give you thanks for this night. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 I just want to again, thank you for your support, for making our ministry possible, for your prayers, and just want to encourage you, all of you, to go out and make a difference in the world. Amen? And through the power of the Spirit, we can do that, not in our own strength. So God bless you, and have a great night, great week in the Lord. Amen.